a lot of directions. I enjoyed that message. I took a moment there to think about what would I draw if I was going to draw a picture of the resurrection. I might start with an empty tomb. But we can think about that later, can't we? Appreciate the message that's gone before us. I invite you to turn with me to 1 Thessalonians chapter 1. 1 Thessalonians chapter 1. I've preached from this many times, and we've gone through the whole book here and considered lots of things, but there's one verse that in reading this recently just kind of weighed on my heart, and I want to try to deal with that this morning, Lord willing. 1 Thessalonians chapter 1. I remember saying one time that if we would, as a church, if we would take these 10 verses in this first chapter and just read them every day, that's not too much to ask, is it? 10 verses in a day? But it would remind us what we should be like as the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. Because Paul expressed with great joy about this church and their activity and their faith and their hope and their love and all that was about them that he mentioned there. And it would stir our mind and our heart to remind ourselves how we should be living with that lively hope, with that hyper hope, in a way that would bring glory to God, that would bring blessings to us in our obedience to the faith. It would be an encouragement to those around us. The church would be a bright and shining light. I mean, shouldn't we be all of those things? The Lord's worthy. He's blessed us in so many ways. He's given us so much. He's worthy that we should have that hyper hope, if you will. Right. All right? Sometimes we don't. Sometimes we don't. That's not God's fault. He's given it to us. It's sure and it's steadfast. Sometimes we get busy. Sometimes we get distracted. Sometimes our focus is on things on this earth instead of things in heaven. Okay, I hope you found 1 Thessalonians by now. Let me read the first four verses. Paul and Silvanus and Timotheus, elsewhere they're called Silas and Timothy, unto the church of the Thessalonians, which is in God the Father and in the Lord Jesus Christ. Grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. We give thanks to God always for you all, making mention of you in our prayers, remembering without ceasing your work of faith and labor of love and patience of hope in our Lord Jesus Christ, in the sight of God and our Father, knowing, brethren beloved, your election of God. There's a lot there. What weighed on my heart this week was, brethren beloved. The Apostle Paul, with all that God had blessed him to understand, this man who had been the most ardent, the most fervent persecutor of the church in his day. And I think I mentioned not long ago that the more I've studied the Bible, the more I'm persuaded that the reason that Paul claimed himself to be the chief of sinners, I believe part of that reasoning was because he had tried to do more to destroy the church than anybody living in his day. He was a persecutor. He compelled others to blaspheme. He had others stoned. And I'm satisfied. My persuasion is that perhaps was that thorn in the flesh that he carried around with him. And that was his history. Now, God had forgiven him. He did it in ignorance, but he did it. And he had to live with it. This man, whom God had blessed so mightily, with such an abundance of revelation. You know, he was caught up to the third heaven. I like that explanation about the three heavens. The first is the one that where the birds fly. And the second, at night, you can see the celestial bodies, the stars, the moon, and planets and such. But that third heaven is where God is. I like that. Paul was caught up to the third heaven. He was. In spirit. But nevertheless, he said, whether in the body or out of the body, I cannot tell. God knoweth. And he repeated that. In other words, listen, pay attention to this. It happened. Whether in the body or out of the body, he said, I don't know. God knoweth. But he said, such a man was caught up in the third heaven. And saw things that were unlawful to speak. I think there's two things that Paul's saying by that. First, he didn't have words to describe. Don't you just love to think about what heaven must be like? I do. I don't spend I don't spend my day all day, but I love to, from time to time, just think about, Lord, what's heaven like? I don't have to say, what's it going to be like? What is it like? It is what it is, and it is what it's always going to be. We're not there yet, but it is prepared. It is there. Just like Brother Thomas said, whether you believe it or not, your belief about it doesn't change a thing. It's real. It's a place. And by the blood of Jesus, for his elect family, we'll be there. I don't know when, but I don't worry about being there. We will be there by the resurrection of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. But I wonder what we'll do. I wonder what it'll be like. We got a few clues in the scripture. But you know what makes me the happiest? Well, I shouldn't say that. Because the happiest thing about it is that we'll be with the Lord. The one that loved us and gave himself for us. But from our perspective now, I can get real happy knowing that folks' bodies are not going to be wearing out. We're not going to need doctors and hospitals and nursing homes. And we're not going to need those things that cause such heartaches and sorrows and struggles here in this life. We won't need it. It won't be a part of that place. That's here. And it's all going to melt here with fervent heat after the elect family of God is taken out of it and taken home to be with him forever. Knowing, brethren, beloved, your election of God. This man, this apostle, this one who had been blessed with such an abundance of revelation now, is calling these brethren, brethren, beloved. What makes this beloved apostle so endeared to this church? Well, let me start with this. It wasn't the country club of Thessalonica. It was the church of Jesus Christ at Thessalonica. And these brethren were showing their love for God. And in doing so, they were showing their love for one another. But that's the key. Love for God. We love him because he first loved us. We love him because he elected us in the covenant of grace before the foundation of the world. So when you begin reading this, when it says Paul and Silvanus and Timotheus unto the church of the Thessalonians, which is in God the Father and in the Lord Jesus Christ. And we could spend a lot of time about this, the thought of being in Christ. Because there's at least five different ways. I haven't studied that or thought about that much a lot here lately, but we're in him by choice, by election. Okay? We take him upon us in baptism. We identify with him. Okay? But Paul said in Romans 16, he spoke of, let me turn to that because I might not quote that. Romans 16, as Paul is giving some greetings to, as he's closing out this epistle to the Romans, the church at Rome, and he's giving personal greetings to different ones. He says in Romans 16, verse 7, salute Andronicus and Junia, my kinsmen and my fellow prisoners, who are of note among the apostles. Okay, so there were more who were commonly considered apostles than just the 12. Okay, who were also in Christ before me. That can't be talking about election. Because God chose all of his people in Christ before the foundation of the world. But that has to be in relation to coming to a knowledge of the truth, or being born again, coming to a knowledge of the truth, and being identified with God's people. But let me give you another one. Philippians chapter 3. I'm going to get in the interest of time, verse 8. Yea, doubtless, and I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things and do count them but dung that I may win Christ. And, verse 9, and be found in him. Not having mine own righteousness. What is he saying? Well, all of God's children, all the elect family of God, are in him by election. And if we've come to a knowledge of the truth, having been born again and been blessed to come to a knowledge of the truth and be identified with him through baptism, then we're in his church as far as, you know, the local assembly. But Paul says, and be found in him. In other words, it's evident. It's evident that he loves God, that he's following the scriptures, that he's wanting to please the Lord, that he's living his life according to that one that he's identified with, that is the Lord Jesus Christ, being found in him, not having mine own righteousness, he says, but the righteousness which is of God. All right? So as we think about then, this church at Thessalonica, They were in God the Father and in the Lord Jesus Christ. And I'm going to tell you something. By their actions, by the life that they were living, by the choices that they were making, by the glory that they were giving to God, by the witness that was going out from them, they were in Him. They were found to be in Him. You could tell they loved the Lord. You could tell their affections was on things above and not on things of the earth. You could see it. They were showing it. They were proving it. They had a hyper hope. Their hope was lively. It was alive. And you could tell it. Oh, preacher, how do you know all that? Well, if you keep reading in this chapter, you'll find out. Let me read a little bit more. He says, now, Paul, notice there's four things here, basically, Paul is saying about this church. First of all, in verse 2, he said, we give thanks to God always for you all. He was thanking God. This apostle who was so faithful to God, who had suffered so many things, this church was near and dear to him because they also were suffering for the things of righteousness. They also loved the Lord. They were demonstrating their love for the Lord. And he thanked God for them every day. That's how we ought to be. As the church, the Lord Jesus Christ. So we give thanks to God always for you, making mention of you in our prayers. Paul was praying for this church. Isn't it a blessing for folks to be praying for you in this life? I mean, we need it. We need the prayers of those we love. We need to be praying for those we love. We need it. There's so we've got the adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion going about seeking whom he may devour. Do you remember that? He's out there. He's always on the job. I love to couple that with 2 Chronicles 16:9. For the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth to show himself strong in behalf of those whose heart is perfect toward him. We've got help. But we need to remember we've got an adversary. We've also got an old flesh body that we carry around with us that bothers us all the time. We've also got a world that's fallen that in so many ways does not love God, does not respect God, does not believe his word, and they're pushing their agenda every opportunity they get. And we have to live in this world. This world is not our home. We need the Lord. We need his help. We need his blessings. And we need the prayers of those we love, and we need to be praying for those we love. He says, then the third thing, remembering without ceasing. And there's three things that he's remembering about this church. Again, here's an example. Here's a model. Well, he's going to call them in samples in just a moment. But here's an example of how we as the church ought to be. He says, remembering without ceasing your faith, your work of faith. If God has blessed us with the new birth, if he's blessed us with eyes to see the kingdom, if he's blessed us with ears to hear the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, then it required or it deserves a response. To respond to his love that he's given us, to respond to his mercy, to respond to the blessings that he gives us and say, thank you, Lord. And to say, I love you, Lord, by everything we do in obedience to his word. Now what Jesus said, if you love me, keep my commandments. So every time we keep his commandments, we're saying, I love you. We need to do that, you know, all day long. You know, like the man said, that we need to preach the gospel everywhere we go. And if necessary, use words. Our footsteps, our choices. Say either, I love you, Lord, or I'm going my own way, Lord. What are we saying? Paul was thanking God for these brethren. He was thanking them for their work of faith. And he says, and your labor of love. You know, I know you can't answer this with a quantity, but how much do you love God? And I would compare that to say, you know, pick the person that's dearest to you in this world, or a person who's dear to you in this world. What are you willing to do for that person? And then someone that you barely know. What are you willing to do for that person? And can you see that when there's more love involved, you're willing to do more? So that labor of love is intensified the more we realize how much He loves us and how much we show love to Him. Faith worketh, Paul said to the Galatian brethren, faith worketh by love. Faith, that word worketh, means the energy of it. So faith, the energy of faith is love. How much faith we exhibit, how much faith we manifest, has a lot to do with how much love we have. Now I know God's love for us is perfect. It will never be any better than it already is. But our love for Him can grow. Our love for Him can be hidden, or it can be shown openly. Our hope. If He's in you, Christ in you, the hope of glory, then bless your hearts, you know, the substance. Our faith is the substance of things hoped for. Okay? So if we've got faith, we're able to hope. But how bright is it? We've heard that already, ably presented to us. How bright is it? How lively is it? It makes a difference on where your heart is. I believe we had it preached to us not long ago, where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. Where's your treasure? Where's your heart? What do you treasure? The things of God? Do you treasure the Word of God? Do you treasure His love for you? Do you treasure His mercy for you? Do you treasure your opportunity to show your love for Him by showing it to others? There's so much involved here, isn't it? And it's what we ought to be. That's what He's called us to be. He's called us out of darkness into His marvelous light, that we should show forth His praises. That's what we're supposed to do. 1 Peter chapter 2. That's what we're supposed to do. And Paul was thanking God for these brethren. They're dearly beloved to him because of their manifestation of faith and love and hope. I didn't read that part, did I? Remembering without ceasing your faith, work of faith, your labor of love, and patience of hope. In what? Where's our hope anchored? Is it something down the road in this life that we hope to obtain to? No, our hope is anchored in the Lord Jesus Christ. He is our hope. Absolutely. Brother Thomas was talking about the reality of the resurrection. The resurrection is just as real as Jesus Christ is, because he said, I am the resurrection. He came, he died, he rose again. And he said, I am he that liveth and was dead, and behold, I am alive forevermore. And bless your hearts, if we died with him, we're going to live with him in glory forever. Patience. You know, that helps me to be a little more patient in my trials when I remember what we have in the Lord Jesus Christ. That we couldn't have anywhere else. Nobody else can provide what the Lord Jesus Christ is and has done and will continue to do. You know, Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. You know what that says? All these other religions of the world are false. The only Savior is Jesus. You either believe that or you don't. And there's a whole lot of folks who say, well, there's a lot of ways to get to God. You know, you just pick one and be good at it and you'll get there. Well, that sounds real good. But it's not true. Sounds good to the flesh, doesn't it? And I'm afraid there's so many that are following what feels good or sounds good to the flesh today instead of thus saith the Lord and being the example they should based upon what this word teaches us. Those brethren were dear to the Apostle Paul because they were adhering to this word. They were holding on to Christ. They were trusting God. They were looking to Him. And they were in a lot of affliction as well. But they were faithful. And they were showing their love. So Paul said, knowing, brethren, beloved, your election of God. They were proving it by the very life that they were living. You see, if God hasn't loved us, there's no way we're going to ever love Him. So if we're showing a sincere love for God, it's an evidence that He's already loved us. And if He loved us, that means He chose us in Christ before the foundation of the world. That means we're secure in the love of God and can never be separated from it. That means someday Jesus is coming back to get us, to take us home, to be with. We don't have to know where heaven is. Jesus is going to come back and He's going to take us. We're safe in that. And when we remember that, we can rejoice. We can do those works of faith. We can do that labor of love. We can be patient in hope. And I appreciate so much what Brother Thomas said about hope. You know, as sure as it is, it just hadn't happened yet. We don't have the reality of it. We're waiting for it. But there's no reason to give up hope on the Lord. I mean, it's been 2,000 years and He hadn't come back yet, but that's okay. There's not one, you know, Moses told, and I think Joshua said about the same thing, but Moses says not one good thing has failed. Oh, not one thing has failed of all the good things. I think Joshua said that. Not one thing has failed of all the good things that the Lord promised. They've all come to pass. And brethren, we could say the same thing. We live in a fallen world. Bad things happen to good folks. We have struggles. Jesus said, in the world ye shall have tribulation. But in the end, Jesus wins. Nothing can separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus. He is coming back. He is going to gather up all for whom He died. He is going to take us home. We will be with Him in glory. And we will be in such a condition that we'll have a perfect tongue and a perfect mind and a perfect heart to praise Him like He should be praised. And we'll have all eternity to do it. That's why I love my favorite definition of eternity is it's just long enough to praise God enough. And He's going to fashion us like unto His glorious body and take us home to be with Him. These brethren were living in the brightness of that hope. They were living, they were laboring patiently. They were laboring in the gospel. Their witness was going forth. Let me just, in closing, let me just kind of go through the rest of this just to refresh your mind. I know you can read it later, but he says, knowing, brethren, beloved, your election of God. For our gospel came not unto you in word only, but also in power and in the Holy Ghost and in much assurance, as ye know what manner of men we were among you for your sake. And ye became followers of us and of the Lord, having received the word in much affliction with joy of the Holy Ghost. Listen, why were these brethren dear to Paul? They became followers of the Lord. They weren't just followers of Paul. They were followers of the Lord. And here's the degree, he says, so that ye were in samples to all that believe in Macedonia and Achaia. In samples. That's a little bit different from an example. We show an example now and then. an ensample is a constant example. They weren't just Christians on Sunday morning. They weren't Christians just now and then. They were Christians all week long. You know, what's his name? Well, there's probably been several that have said it. I'm thinking about Adrian Rogers. He used to preach on the radio a lot. And said something one time about how you, and I'm sure others have said it, you know, you can't run with the devil during the week and walk with God on Sunday. It just doesn't work that way. If we want fellowship with God, then it needs to be every day. Now, I realize there's days when we're struggling, and there's days when we're down, and there's days when we don't do as much as others, but I'm going to tell you something. Our heart should be set upon the Lord every day, and whatever our circumstances might be they good or bad, God is still the same. He's still just as worthy to be praised. He's still just as good to us because he daily loadeth us with benefits, so then we have reason every day to praise his holy name. And if our mind is set on things above instead of things on the earth, we'll do a better job of it more often. I know we get down. I know we have challenges. But bless your hearts, the pattern ought to be praising God. As the church of the Lord Jesus, we're not just the church while we're here gathered. We're the church when we're out there. The church is the called out. The church is the people that God has called out of darkness into his marvelous light, that we should show forth his praises every day. Every day with a lively hope. So he says, so you were in samples, a constant example. For from you sounded out the word of the Lord, not only in Macedonia and Achaia, but also in every place. Your faith to Godward is spread abroad so that we need not to speak anything. He didn't have to tell folks about those brethren at Thessalonica. They heard about it. Folks around there heard about them. What is this community hearing about Piney Grove? What's sounding out from us? If we were more like the church at Thessalonica, we know from what he says what they'd be hearing. Okay? Yes, that was a long time ago. But it's just the same today. Our redemption is just as sweet. Our eternal security is just as secure. His mercy is just as deep. His grace is just as amazing today as it ever has been, because he doesn't change. Known unto God are all his works from the beginning of the world. But our response ebbs and flows, doesn't it? Oh, may God help us to be more of an ensample, more of a constant example of showing forth the praises of him that's called us out of darkness. He said, for they themselves show of us what manner of entering in we had unto you, and how you turned to God from idols to serve the living and true God. Did you hear that? Those people turned from idols. Well, preacher, it's a good thing we don't have to do that today. Oh, yes, we do. There's still plenty of idols in this world. And we still need to be turning from them and serving the one true and living God. And to wait for his Son from heaven, whom he raised from the dead. Isn't that where we started this morning with Brother Thomas's message? Even Jesus, which delivered us from the wrath to come. If for no other reason, we should be thanking God that through his Son he has delivered us from the wrath to come. I'm afraid there's an awful lot of people in our world today that just doesn't believe that's going to happen. They're not worried about it. You know, you live your life and then that's all there is to it. Well, I'm sorry that they feel that way, because that's just not the truth. God was before he made this world, and he will be after this world melts with fervent heat. And he has told us that he has chosen a people. You know, their election of God. He has chosen a people. He purposed to save them by his Son. He did that, and he showed it to us by him going to the cross, by him raising from the dead, and by his promise that he will come back and take us home. If I go and prepare a place for you, he says, I'll come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, and here's the why, that where I am, there ye may be also. God desires, and he's going to bring to pass that he will have his family together with him. Isn't that a wonderful thing to have your family together and all that? Well, God's family is going to be together. God's family. We're going to be together with him forever. Well, we don't have to wait till then to enjoy being together now. To enjoy thanking him for what he's done, praising him for the glory of his grace, appreciating the eternal security that we have in him, and waiting for his Son from heaven. These are things we ought to think about every day. I still recommend that we read those 10 verses every day. That'd be a good encouragement for us. A good reminder, just 10 verses, that's not long, that's not much. But he says so much about what we should be as the church of the Lord Jesus Christ, to have a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. May God bless you, is our prayer.